Hello and welcome to the Transformative Taskmaster Podcast. This week, TK is chatting with friend of the podcast, Jonah, about some of the unique quirks of the Taskmaster fandom. It's a bit less structured this week, so get your tea and cuddly blankets ready for this cozy little conversation.
All right, welcome, Jonah, to the Transformative Taskmaster Podcast. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm so good. So excited to have you on here. As a brand new fan, I believe, of Taskmaster, if that's correct.
Very new, yes.
Awesome. Okay. You have recently not only joined the Taskmaster fandom itself, but our little group chat, as we're calling it. So first,
the fan forum.
Yes. So first of all, how did you find Taskmaster to begin with?
That is a question I wish I had an answer to, because I honestly don't remember. For years now, I have been watching other shows like 8 out of 10 Cats and Mock the Week and QI and all that good stuff. And I honestly don't remember how I stumbled across Taskmaster, but I do remember maybe about a year or two ago, just completely out of context, watching the task where they have to put as many things into a hanging plastic bag as they can without breaking it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is amusing. And then completely forgot about it for about 2 years. So I was definitely familiar with a lot of the people that we have seen so far on Taskmaster, but there was some sort of horrible illness that was spreading across my workplace back in the beginning of the year. So just over a month ago, I was homesick from work for like 3 days straight, and I was feeling completely miserable, and I thought, I need something lighthearted and funny to watch, and something in my brain said, hey, remember that Taskmaster show you keep hearing about? Why don't we watch that? Yeah. And then that's where it started.
Nice. Now, obviously, for the typical fan or for people that have never seen the show before and you're trying to do like an elevator pitch for it, right? It's like, well, you know, it's like a Britcom kind of panel show, you know, with like five different comedians every series and all this kind of stuff. But for our specific group chat, like, we're obviously focused on like the dynamic between Greg and Alex. So is that something that like you started watching it and then like you got hooked because of their dynamic, or just because like it's a great show and you just liked the tasks, or like at what point were you like, there is something going on here between these hosts?
It wasn't for a while, actually. So I started, and the first thing I loved was the humor overall. I just loved watching these people do these ridiculous things and laughing at them and their jokes and their banter in the studio and everything. And I think it took a couple of seasons, even for them, for the real dynamic of the Taskmaster and his assistant to really solidify. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until, I couldn't give you a specific season, but quite like a few seasons in, that I went up to my best friend and I said, there is something inherently kinky about this show, and I don't even know if they are aware of it. But I was like, there must be a fandom, because they're gonna have a field day with some of the things they say to each other on this show. So it was a gradual realization. I came for the comedy and for the tasks, and I stay for that as well, but also very much for the dynamic.
I have a horrible memory. I have a memory like a sieve, but I do remember the second that it like clicked with me, and it was, have you seen, because I know you're kind of jumping around with the series a little bit, but have you watched series 14 yet?
Oh, I actually watched all of them in order.
Oh, then who am I thinking about? Somebody in our group chat is recently like going through, but like in a random order. I thought it was you. Anyway, it's the moment in series 14 where Alex is like in the show, not in the outtakes, is like, did you know that there's like fanfic written about us? And I'm like, pause. What? Excuse me? And I go on AO3 and I was like, there's no way. What? And I like that got me like into the little like community that we're a part of. But
I looked it up even before I heard them mention it. Before I'd even gotten to the part where they talked about it, yeah. I went, there's got to be fanfic on this. So
yeah, so you're smarter than me.
I'm a fandom old. I started in fanfic in general, but in the RPF world more specifically when I was like 14. So it's been over 20 years. I like, as soon as I recognize there might be a hint of something in anything, I'm like, there's a tag for it. I just know it.
Yeah,
so
that's totally
I went on
fair.
There. And it's somebody, I don't remember who, somebody mentioned to me, if you're listening to the Horn Section podcast, just the first one you should listen to is with Greg. Yep. And I was like, okay, I didn't know anything going into it. And I just was like, why did I decide to listen to this while I'm driving? This was the worst idea because I was crying. I was like, I cannot believe they did this.
Yeah.
It's like, this is maniacal. Like, they're out of their mind.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. And like, to go from that, when Greg is like, what? Like, you're joking, right? To like, you know, last month in New York City when he's like, and this is my favorite fic title, and I'm gonna read a little bit of this one, and I'm gonna read a little bit of this one, and I'm like, girl, stop.
Not even from his phone. He printed it. Dude, he wanted that in hard copy. He probably went home and used a hole punch and bound it together.
He should have laminated it.
Of course. Gotta have it laminated.
Oh,
that's the
gosh.
Sexiest part.
That I just can't believe that they printed it out, because it's just wild to me, because as someone whose fic was printed out on that piece of paper, I was just like, I need to see what that paper says. Like, I'm so upset that like we don't yet have the technology where you can pause in like the frame that Alex is like taking it from like beside the chair, and you can like zoom in and like see what exactly is printed, because I'm like, this is nuts that you like actively and willingly did this. Like,
yeah,
why?
Like, my other like big current fandom that I've been in for the past 6 years now is Critical Role.
Mm-hmm.
And Critical Role has a fairly active RPF side as well. But they tend to be the kind that when it was brought up to them once, like years ago at some panel, and they were like, we're not really comfortable with it. Like, we won't read it, but you guys do you. And that was it. Like, nobody else bothered them about it really ever again. It was like, okay, they're not comfortable with it, so we're just going to leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then so to go from that to this is like, I'm living on a different planet.
It really is. Yeah. And for me, this is my first RPF fandom, because I've been in fandoms for, you know, since like middle school. And been a part of different fandom spaces. And this was not my first like fic writing fandom. I had like two before this, but I didn't even consider to think that there, and I knew about RPF, but I don't know. It just like, it just kind of felt a little weird to me to be like writing about real people. And I think part of that is because I have had fanfic written about myself and I was deeply uncomfortable with it. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just really weird. And I was just like, I don't know how I feel about this, because like you don't get to control what your character does like in the fic.
Right.
And so I was like, this is like not for me, that's fine. But then when Alex brought it up and they were both like, this is amazing, I was like, oh, like, okay, like that's interesting that they like it, you know, like not only do they think it's funny, but they're not making fun of it. Like those are two completely separate things, right? Where, you know, I know that there are some like celebrities that have found fanfic of themselves and they're like, and they just like tear it apart. But Greg and Alex do the opposite of that, you know, where they're like, the writing is really good. Like it's good. And I'm like, well, thank you. out of the two other fandoms that I've written for, I did find that the majority of the time there's only like a couple writers that have consistent good grammar, good spelling, good pacing, you know, character voices down kind of thing. And coming into the Taskmaster fandom, I have been so spoiled, and not just I have been spoiled, but like all of us that are part of our little community are so, so spoiled, because we get not literal novels, like 40,000 words. There's a couple that are like over 100,000 words. At the New York City premiere, Alex mentioned, like, you know, there's one we found that was 20,000 words. I think he was talking about Jester and the King, because currently it's about 20,000 words. Those are rookie numbers, my guy. Like, he's like, they're like little novels. And I'm like, that's not, like, and like, you probably have figured this out by like being part of our little group chat, but I'm the person that writes like quick and short. Like, that's my brand.
Yeah, me and, too.
Like, Jester and the King is very different for me because it's an ongoing, it's not even finished yet. Like, like, it's an ongoing thing. It's got 12 chapters at the time of recording this. Like, it's not something that I would classify as a novel because, like, insiders, fun fact, Jester and the King was a plot-driven storyline up until, I forget what chapter, like 8 or something. And then every chapter after 8 is just like a little sitcom, basically. So it's like, for me, that's not a novel. Like, Spaceship Greg is a novel, right? Like, there are so many more fanfics that you could talk about that are way longer than 20,000 words. So, like, don't be like, oh, Jester and the King is a novel. No. Like, no. That's not the one you should be calling a novel, trust me.
Yeah. I think I got prepared early in life to join this fandom without even realizing it, because my very first RPF fandom was Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's amazing!
And I think it prepared me. Yeah, it was my ultimate fixation when I was in middle school, all through high school. I've seen some of them perform live.
Oh, me too. They're fabulous.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. And it was back in the day before LiveJournal, before AO3, before fanfiction.net, when we had to post in email chains on Yahoo.
Oh my gosh.
that's how we shared fanfic with each other. And I think if my parents had not only known that I was doing that, but also that me as a 14-year-old was in these groups with people who were in their 30s and 40s, mm-hmm. I probably would have had my internet access taken away.
Yep.
Anyway, that was the internet at the time. It was much more of a wild, wild west situation.
Oh yeah, like us millennials, we really got like the best part of the internet, where like everything was accessible, you know, at any given time.
Yeah, yeah, we're all scarred for life.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying if you really sit down and think about it. But yeah, I mean, you know, we are so blessed to have like such amazing writers in the Taskmaster fandom, and it's just like the quality and the output of the amount of fics that we get is truly sensational.
I can't keep up with it. It's crazy. And I've never written this much this quickly before for anything.
Yeah.
Like I've been cranking out one a day almost since I joined, and it's like, I never write this much, but there's just like, it's buzzing in my head.
Yeah.
They won't leave me alone in there.
Yeah. It's a really good show for finding inspiration in like the tiniest little things.
Oh yeah.
Which is amazing. So basically what I'm hearing is you binge watched like all of Taskmaster.
Yes.
Very quickly. And then and then you joined our little group chat, which we're very excited to have you on board.
Oh, thank you.
Especially because you have been writing an ongoing fic, which has 8-9 chapters. I mean, by the time this podcast goes out, it's going to be like much more than that, I'm sure.
We'll be up in the hundreds by then.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, it's always exciting to find like new like usernames basically like commenting on your stuff and like writing new stuff. And we have a couple people that do like fic watch where they'll be like, oh, here's a new fic writer, found it in the tags, like here's a link, and then we like all read it and we're like, oh, like subscribe to this, like this is really good. So yeah, that's it's been really exciting to like read some fresh material. Not, you know, not like we ever run out of fresh ideas or anything like that, but like it is exciting when you find somebody new in the fandom that like takes up the mantle.
And it was so exciting that the amount of engagement I've been getting on it has been way beyond what I ever thought, and almost immediately was invited in to the fan forum, and I was like, I need a community because nobody else in my life quite understands. Mm-hmm. And I know there are people out there who do. I'm like, please find me. Invite me in from the cold. I need a blanket and some soup, please.
We got some hot chocolate. We're all set up for you. Yeah. So
you did you remember to make the burnt pornography? That's the most important part.
Yeah, it's still on the stove, actually. I should probably go check on
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Just need to make sure it's like really, really burnt, you know. Just gotta get that like crispy, you know, like actively flames in your mouth. Sounds so gross. Yeah. So how are you finding the community so far as being like a new fan?
Oh, it's been great. I love any place where I can just dump any random weird thought that comes in my head, and people are like, "Yeah, no, we get it." Mm-hmm. It's not like, you weirdo. Why are you saying this? They don't understand. I'm like, no, I have too many random thoughts that just pop up in my head, and they need a space to lay down, or else I will go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that's real. That is so real. Yeah, having. Go ahead.
Oh, I have felt very welcomed, and it's been a lot of fun, especially getting to learn all the different things that I wouldn't know just by watching the show itself. Mm-hmm. So people sending links to other panel shows and podcasts and things where I can learn about Alex and Greg and everybody else who's been on the show. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a little bit the reason why we made this podcast in the first place was because like there are so many little moments on not only the show but like you said, like other stuff, like the horn section and like the Taskmaster podcast and like all of the episodes that come out, and collectively, you know, when a new episode comes out, we'll watch it like as much as we can, you know, as a group. But of course, you know, everybody's on different time zones and has work and all this kind of stuff, like when a new episode comes out. But we're always like screaming at each other about like, did you see like my thing that we're going to talk about on like in more depth in an upcoming episode is going to be Nick Mohammed's reflection being edited out of any kind of reflective surfaces.
Oh my gosh, I never noticed that.
You need to go back and rewatch.
That's incredible.
Every time, because he's Dracula.
I was too focused on how just adorable that man is. Like, I want to put him in my pocket.
Yep.
Like, and I think he's about the same height as me, or maybe a little shorter. I don't know. So I don't know how it would work, but, you know, yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. No, that's like the thing that I am personally like, that's my number one obsession is like the editors and how they did that for like a mirror task, and every mirror is blank of his reflection. And they just have these little moments where like they edited him out of the water and stuff like that. It's amazing. Like,
oh my god, that's incredible.
So there are like these that. Yeah, like you said, there is gonna be stuff that you don't notice that other people do pick up on, and then we scream it at each other, and there we're like, what? I need to go back and like rewatch that, or like, or, you know, we'll drop like a screenshot, or we'll drop like a link to, you know, like the GIF sets, and you know, like what's it called when you like pause a YouTube video a certain time and then you get timestamp or whatever.
The timestamp.
Yeah. And we'll just be like, did anyone notice this little thing that happens? And then, and even then, you don't watch it back just once. Like, you watch those GIFs until your eyes are falling out, and you analyze those GIFs until your brain is falling out, and you're like, oh my god, like look at how subtly his eyebrows raise, and then like, oh, and his like lips do this thing, and you're like, oh my god, like this is ridiculous. And
I just did that. What was that, today, yesterday? I don't remember. But when it was the gift set of Alex on Cat's Us Countdown, and he was taking off his tie and removing his shirt because they were about to do like the Zumba or whatever thing. And my first thought was, let me analyze everybody else. Like, Susie Dent just gave him like the up and down of her eyes. I was like, I saw that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's funny. Like you said, I also have a memory like a Steve, and I have watched the horn section on Cat's Us Countdown and then watched Taskmaster and did not connect for a while that was the same guy. Mm-hmm. Like my brain just did not connect Alex Horn and Alex Horn.
Yeah.
And then also when I was watching Cat's Us Countdown again, I was like, wait a second. How did I forget? This is the same guy.
Like, to be fair, he is a very different person when he does the horn section versus when he is the Taskmaster's assistant.
Which this is true. Really, the personality threw me off.
Yeah.
The submission just threw everything out the window.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if you've seen the horn section TV show.
Not yet.
Okay, I have it, but when you do,
ready to go.
But you are going to be so confused because it literally takes Alex Horn, the head of the horn section, and Alex Horn, the Taskmaster's assistant, and mushes them into one person, and it is amazing. So weird. But it is incredible how they do it. It's just that, like, I don't know how his brain works, and it is endlessly fascinating.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really nice to have that kind of sounding board with other people that notice those tiny, tiny details. So not only can they point out things to you that you're like, oh my gosh, I never noticed that, but you can also flip the script and be like, did y'all notice this thing? And if people did, then they're like, yes, I did. Let's talk about it. And if they didn't, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't. Let's talk about it. Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah. Sometimes you need the set of eyes that has seen something a million times. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you need the set of eyes that's fresh.
Yeah.
And then combined, we can take over the world.
Yeah, truly. Truly. Yeah, it's really incredible. All right. Well, I know that you binge watched Taskmaster, and I'm sure you've read, you know, however many fics, dozens at this point, probably. But so we're going to play a game. So we're going to play Fact or Fanfic. I'm going to give you three Greg to Alex intros. So, at, you know, at the beginning of every episode, he introduces Alex. And you're going to tell me if you think it is a fact, if he actually said that, or if it's from a fanfic and someone has made it up. Okay, so first one. And next to me, hanging on my every word like a rabid little puppy, it's little Alex Horn. Fact or fanfic?
Gosh, you don't know how hard this is going to be until it happens. Because honestly, I can hear it in his voice too. That's the thing. I feel like I don't know if puppy would be the right word he would use. But I'm going to say that it's fact.
It is a fact. Yay! Ding, ding, ding. Yes, that one was from Champion of Champions 1, episode 2.
Multi-part one they did, huh?
I think so, yeah, because I'm looking at that and I'm like, episode 2, don't they only have one? But yeah, I guess that must have been the only one that they did 2 episodes, because I know that Ed Gamble's one was just the 1 episode.
A disaster?
Sorry for calling you out, Ed, disaster. But like, literally everybody knows that it was the worst moment of your life. I'm so sorry.
I love that man. I love that man so much.
He's so great. That must have been heart-wrenching, though. Anyway, okay, number 2. And next to me is a man who, on long car journeys, likes to alternate between sticking his head out the window and curling up in the wheel well. It's little Alex Horn.
That one sounds so real. I want to say that one's true.
It's a fig.
Oh, amazing.
Yes.
Kudos to the person that wrote that, because it's perfect.
Yeah, let's figure out who wrote it. Yeah, it's from Elixir, who we know and love and also helps out on this podcast. The fic title is called Show Them How Much I Love You.
Surprised he hasn't used that one yet.
Yes. Okay, next up. Oh my gosh, someone is like actively in the document that I'm using and like changing it. That's annoying. We figured it out. All right, last one. Here we go. And next to me, a man who, when he tried to donate his body to science, was immediately turned down because they said that they had more than enough nasty little owl pellets to dissect. It's little Alex Horn.
I want that one to be real. I want it to be real so bad.
What do you think?
I'm gonna say it's real.
It's a fic.
Oh my god!
But he really should use that. Incredible. He really should use that.
I wanted them all to be real so bad.
And the title.
Yeah, that's an incredible.
Well, it surprising no one. It's by Illuminescence, who is like my personal favorite like fandom author. Like she's definitely one of the top tier foundations of our community. But yeah, her fic is called A Striking Similarity to an Owl Dropping, which is a great title.
Yeah, one of these days I am going to name a fanfic something along the lines of chunks of meat thrown at a car wash. For some reason that one sticks in my brain.
Yep. Yeah, they really are just out here giving us free fic fodder.
Yeah, for real.
It's like, yep, we don't have to try hard. We just have to take what you threw on the ground and pick it up and dust it off, and here you go.
it's the least I've ever had to work in any fandom to get material straight from the source.
Yeah. Like, very often I will find myself running out of time to write, and so like I'll be at work and I'll be like on a break and I'll just be like typing away furiously, and I'll get like, you know, 500 words, and then my break is over and I'm like, okay, well I still like need to write more because this isn't done. But I don't have time to keep writing. So yeah, once they figure out some kind of technology we can use for, you know, transferring a fully formed fic in your brain to paper, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's an episode of Black Mirror that's just waiting to go bad, but we'll try it anyway.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And now I am terrified. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Taskmaster as compared to like other fandom spaces, right? So we touched on this a little bit earlier, but Greg and Alex do this thing where they will not only shout out fanfic, not only will they print out a piece of fanfic and bring it on Seth Meyers' show, not only will they sing a fanfic on a podcast, my experience in New York was that we went to the Q&A, and it was like very, very, very early on in the Q&A, Greg brought it up of his own volition. Like,
as he is wont to do. Yeah.
Right. And I don't remember what the question was. It might have been the, can you pick up Alex, please? But like literally, it was not a question about fanfic. It wasn't even close. And he just sat down and he was like, you know, there's like fanfic written about us. And obviously he didn't say that because I don't think they know to call it fanfic. Unlike Ed Gamble, who for some reason does know how to call it fanfic. Like, Ed, are you have something you need to tell us? Anyway.
you can't imagine Ed Gamble as a child sitting down and writing self-insert Lord of the Rings fan fiction.
Oh,
like, you know, I'm pretty sure.
Now that you say that.
He knows.
You're so right. Oh, little Ed Redding, little fanfic. That'd be so adorable. Oh, man, I hope we can get him on this podcast at some point, because
I hope so too.
I want to hear what that man has to say. Anyway, so yeah, so like he just brought it up. He's like, you know, like this is a thing, and we're all just like, oh my gosh, like this is awkward, because there's like 14 of us like sitting all together. We like, most of us got tickets to like sit together, and we're just like, Greg, why do you do this to us?
It's literally the naughty children being called out by the school teacher.
Yep.
Literally.
Yep. Yep. <It's... laughs> It is wild. And so, like, at this point, they are both out here, like, doing that of their own free will. Like, just why, first of all, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong. We are obsessed with you doing that, so keep doing it. But, like, it is so weird, because usually in other fandom spaces, like, I feel like fanfic isn't really mentioned, or if it is, it's like a very subtle thing. So like my, like for example, my previous fandom that I had been writing for was Phineas and Ferb. And surprising probably nobody, if you are like aware that fanfic exists, a lot of it is Doofenshmirtz and Perry. And so like a lot of it, okay. And so
these names mean nothing to me, by the way.
Okay, well, it's the mad scientists and the platypus. So your starting point. Now, the creator of Phineas and Ferb has, I think, like one time even like remotely referenced, and it wasn't even fanfic. It was like just I think what he said was it was a specific subset of Phineas and Ferb fans. And he's like, this one's for you. And then he posted like some TikTok or something that was like them two together, because the way that they are written is like very much like this man and this platypus have a thing going on. It's really weird.
Incredible.
But yeah, so like I think that was like the only time he referenced it. And I know that, like, you know, in the Sherlock fandom, you've got like the whole queer baiting thing, which, like, you know, it never ends up being a thing. And then on the opposite side of that, you've got Our Flag Means Death, which is like an amazing community that's like, this show is queer. This is not queer baiting. It is a queer ass show, right? And it's just like lovely. And I'm not deep enough into the Our Flag Means Death fandom to like know how they take, like how the actors take fanfic or anything like that, so I can't speak on that. But I feel like for the most part, if you're in a fandom, you write fanfic about like the people or like the characters or whatever, it doesn't really break containment, so to speak. Right. And so here you actively have the two hosts, who are the two main people that fanfic is being written about, shouting out fic titles. Greg being like, this one is my favorite title. Alex being like, my current favorite is this. And they're all real. They are all real fanfics that people have written. And it's like, why are you doing this?
I don't want to, I obviously don't want to like psychoanalyze these people, because I don't know them. And I have very specifically in this fandom taken myself out of the what's what we're looking for, more like parasocial aspect. So like a couple of months ago, I deleted like almost everything. I deleted Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, all of it, because I just didn't want to deal with any of it anymore, and I haven't gone back. So the disconnect between myself and Alex and Greg is a lot more vast than it was in my previous fandom, whereas I had quite a few interactions with the Critical Role cast online before, and I met them in person and everything. And not to psychoanalyze them, but I think Greg saying this is some of the hottest things I've ever been involved in, I think part of it at least is an actual like legitimate ego boost.
Right, yeah. I mean,
I think it makes him feel a little bit good about himself.
And it should. Like, it totally should.
And it should.
Yeah.
Because the man is a titan. He is way more attractive than he gives himself credit for. I mean, they both are, honestly.
Yeah, 100%.
Greg deserves a little push up, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We gotta big up ourselves all day, every day. Yes.
All day, every day,
baby. Yeah, I mean, because when they came to New York, obviously, I live in California, so I'm like, there's no way that I'm, you know, going to be like flying out to London every, you know, couple months for like a footy game or whatever, which like, I'm so jealous of people that are just like, yeah, I'll pop down to Chesham for a footy game and like say hi to Alex. I'm like, okay, like lucky. Or like go to a Horn Section show, bro. You have no idea how badly I want to go to a Horn Section live show. Like
me too.
So bad.
We're gonna save up and we're gonna go together as the people who live probably like some of the farthest away.
Yeah.
Because we're both out west.
Yeah.
We need to go.
Oh my god. Like I want so badly to be able to see. And I think to be fair that Alex has said that they do want to come tour in the US, which I'm like, please, I'm begging you. Like I am begging you. But like if you don't, I will come to London or wherever. London, I'm using as like England or the UK.
How American of you.
Seriously.
The country of London.
Oh, you live in England? Oh, how's London going these time of year? I will, you know, make it out there for a Horn Section show at some point. Like, please make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's hard to justify when you live so far away and it's expensive to travel.
Oh my gosh. Crazy. And the fact that I'm currently in limbo of trying to get my passport changed. Who knows if that's gonna happen.
Dude, don't even get me started. Like I've given up on my name and gender change at this point. Not to get political.
Yeah. How dare you get political on this podcast about a game show. Oh god, just dropped my earbud. But yeah, you mentioned your name change, political podcast. We're gonna get struck down. No more, no sponsors for you.
Yeah, truly. RIP. Oh well. But yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, so they I got to meet them in person is where I was going with the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like of course Greg is like gorgeous, like that. I don't know why he thinks anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know why because I also like.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I get it, but also like, hot damn.
Come on, dude.
And I feel like Alex is a little less like. I'm trying to say this without like sounding like a creep, but like I feel like Alex, for the most part, is just. And I've heard other people describe him as, I think this is like how he kind of describes himself as like, he's just some guy. Like, he you know, he's like nothing special. He's not like ultra attractive, you know, or like whatever, like, which, you know, feel free to like, we all will disagree with that. I think that's, you know, partially
in the more conventional way, I would say.
Which is like
he's not conventionally attractive.
Right. And yeah, as someone who I have had a previous partner literally say that to me, to my face, like, well, you're not conventionally attractive, but like, I still think you're cute. And I'm like, oh, I will punch you in the face.
Ouch.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm not trying to say that Alex is not conventionally attractive, but I think like he himself has been like, I'm just like a regular guy. Like, I think if I'm not with Greg, you know, like nobody really recognizes me. But when I met him in person in New York City, like in person up close, that man is drop dead gorgeous. I was like, how does the television like not grab that? And like transfer it to the screen because oh my god. And it's not like, you know, like, you know, these days I'll like watch an episode or watch, you know, something that Alex is on and I'm like, oh man, he's so pretty. Like he is. I think he is a pretty man, right? But in person I was like, good god, man, like calm down. It's just you have no right to be this attractive like in person. Like what is happening?
Similar sort of experience like years ago when I was now this was a fandom I did not actually write RPF for, surprisingly, because it's a big deal. But I was very heavily invested in the Supernatural fandom years ago. And I went to a few Supernatural conventions. I met pretty much anybody who's been on the show at this point. But the first time I met Jensen Ackles in person, like, we all know he's a pretty man. He's way, like, in that sort of, in air quotes, conventionally attractive man. He's very pretty, and he's never been, like, my type, but I can understand, like, he's a gorgeous man. Mm-hmm. But meeting him in person was, like, a completely, like, new level. Like, I was like, how is one human being this pretty? Like, I don't understand what I'm looking at. My brain is short-circuited. I don't understand it. Yeah. It was like, on screen, he's already pretty, but in person, it was like unicorns were flying out of his ass. I don't know. Like, holy good God, man. Right. How do you do that?
Yeah, it's wild. It is so weird.
I can imagine it would be the same if I ever met Alex, because I already think he's, like, drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
And there's just something about being in person, the way, you know, take away the screens, you got to see, like, the actual, like, person. Mm-hmm. It's way different. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another thing about, like, Greg and Alex specifically is that, so I've only met them, like, twice, technically. Like, I met them once when they were coming around for the selfie thing during the premiere. Mm-hmm. And then I ran into them again, at the, like, NBC Studios building. But both times, so for, I can only speak for my experience, but I know for a fact that other fans have had this type of interaction with them as well, is that they're both so genuinely sweet and kind. And, like, we know that they're busy. We know that there's a car outside waiting for them. Like, we know how tight their schedule is, and they still made time. Like, to talk, like, of course, they couldn't talk to all of us, but, like, I had something for them that I didn't get a chance to, like, give them at the premiere, because, like, there were 1,500 people that wanted to, like, have a selfie with them or whatever. But, right. Like, at the premiere, I, like, got to talk to Alex. He was so sweet. I, like, gave him a little letter. I gave Greg a letter, and, like, with some fan art in it from one of our group chat people, like, artists, because they live in Poland, and, like, they haven't been able to meet him in person yet. And he was just so kind, and he was, like, shocked that this, like, fan art was from Poland. He was like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. And then I asked him, because I one of the things I wanted so bad was to give him a hug. And because, like, one of our like, inside jokes on the group chat is, like, you know, if Greg hugged me, like, it would fix me, you know, like, yeah. I would be fixed.
Yeah. And I agree.
So I asked him, can I have a hug? Because, you know, consent is important. And he was like, yeah, of course. And I gave him a hug, and it was so sweet. And, like, it was great. And then I, like, pulled away, and he went, wow, that was a solid hug. And I was like, okay, like, I thought it would cure me, but I guess I cured it. Like, it was just so far. I was like, what is happening, actually? Like, this is wild.
So the question is, where did you come up to him?
Oh, so I actually, I have a GIF of it, because somebody made me a GIF. Oh. And it's still on my... somewhere. It's still on my my desktop.
Because I've seen him next to John Richardson, and I believe John Richardson and I are about the same height, so now I have an idea of what I would look like next to Greg, and it both scares and excites me at the same time.
Well, the thing with me was, I know a lot of people are like, I know Greg is tall, but when I met him in person, he was, like, so tall, right? Which, like, valid, the man is a giant. Yeah. But when I met him, I didn't feel like he was that tall at all. And I don't know if it was because he was, like, you know, bending down to, like, talk to me or whatever. He just seemed so easy to talk to. Like, both of them do. You know, and, like, so easy to talk to, and, like, so genuinely sweet and kind. And, like, they listen to what you have to say, and they, like, are listening. They're actively listening, you know, to you and everything. And it's just, like, incredibly sweet. And I know that there have been, like, so many people I've talked to that have met Greg and Alex at, like, separate times, and they're, like, they're always just incredible humans. Like, they, like, I think I've heard, like, one story where, like, one of them was, like, a little grumpy, you know, like one time, which like, God forbid, you know, you have a bad day at work or whatever, but like, you know, it's just like,
they're canceled.
I mean, they genuinely love their fans and it is so nice because they are the type of people that are like, I'd say like, you know, they made it big, but they also will like personalize their time with people. You know, despite whether you have 2 seconds or 2 minutes or 2 hours with them, they will like genuinely be willing to just like see you, you know, like I see you, you know, type of thing. And it's just really like refreshing because I know a lot of other fandoms are like, you know, the celebrities are like, I don't interact with fans or whatever, which like, if that's, you know, if that's what you do, that's completely valid. You know, I'm not trying to like be like, oh, how dare you like not interact with your fans. But like, I think there's something about Greg and Alex that they kind of realize that their fans are really special. Which like isn't meant to be like a humble brag, but like, you know, we kind of are because of how, just how our dynamic with them and the back and forth with them works, because they do have a back and forth with us, you know, like they'll shout out our fix and they'll like repost fan art online and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's just like, I've never heard them say anything like negative about a fan or like a piece of fan work or anything like that, which is incredible because it's so easy. It's so easy that they could just do that, you know?
Right. And it's so nice to come into this from another fandom where the creators were also like that. Like everyone from Critical Role is so kind and so genuinely like happy to see their fans. When I went to go see them near the end of September of 2023. I went to go see them at a Comic-Con in Oregon, and it was the first con that they had done since before COVID. And so you could tell they were like just as excited to be there as we were. And like every single one of them, they took the time to talk to us during autographs and pictures and everything. And it was like, you could tell they were just as genuinely excited to see us as we were them. And also it reminds me of this sounds like something that Greg or Alex might do. But at one point, Travis Willingham, the CEO of Critical Role, mind you, this is the man in charge of an entire company with like, I don't know, maybe 40, 50 employees. At one point was driving down the road in LA, saw a fan who was wearing a Critical Role t-shirt, stopped the car, got out of the car and ran up to them and said, "Oh my God, your shirt." And then he said he realized that they were probably just wearing like a friend shirt or something because they really didn't seem to know who he was.
So
he was just this like 6'4" man just running at this car person on the street.
Oh my gosh. That's
one of my favorite stories.
I can confirm that both Greg and Alex do this because I've only heard that Alex does this, but I'm sure Greg does this as well. I mean, at least when he was with Alex. But Alex will do this thing where and he did this to like some of our group members when we were in New York City, is that they were trying to like stage door them at I think it was the Seth Meyers taping, maybe. But like they came out and they like saw our people and like walked up to them to like start the conversation, which is incredible because they could have easily just been like, oh, our car is here. Like we got to go. Right. But they also did that to me because after the premiere, we found out that they were doing an interview in one of the NBC Studios building. So we were like, okay, like, let's, you know, go see if we can just like catch them really quick, you know, because it was like our last day in New York for a lot of us. And we were like, yeah, we might as well, you know. And so like I'm in one, but then we couldn't figure out which building they were in. And we kept getting conflicting answers. And so like two of us went to one building and two of us went to the other building. And so like, and we were like, you know, message the other group if you see them. And then we'll come over to your area. And so it was so cold in New York. Like my fingers were freezing off of my hands. So I actually like stepped inside to get warm. Cause I'm like, well, if they're going to come out of this door, like they have to walk through the lobby anyway. And so, So I'm like looking, you know, down at my phone to like check if they have sent a message. And I look up and there's Greg and Alex. And I look back at my phone to see if they sent a message. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's Greg and Alex. Like, what is, and so then, and so like, I'm clearly, and so like, I was like so excited and I was like flustered and I was like, oh, hi, it's you, or something stupid like that. And and there were other people in the lobby that were also clearly there for Greg and Alex. But because I had said hi to them first, Alex like started walking up to me to, you know, and, you know, like giving me a look of like, hey, like, I know you want to talk to us or whatever. But I needed to text the other people. And I was like, oh, I have like stuff for you to sign, like go hang out with them first. And he was like so incredibly sweet that he like was actively walking up to me to like initiate a conversation. And I was like, I need to like send this text. And so he like, you know, so I like shooed him off to the other group. And while he was talking to the other group, I was like, they're here. So then they ran over and like, we got to, you know, say hi and everything. But I mean, yeah, they were both just, awesome. I mean, they were incredible. And at that meeting in the NBC building, I had a print that the Polish person had wanted Greg to sign, but I didn't get a chance for him to do that at the premiere because they were like, you know, going through as quickly as possible. And I wasn't about to be the asshole that was like, oh, actually, can you like take us minutes to like sign this thing? And so I was like, I have a thing for you to sign, and it's, I will write this down to like, put on the website because it's going to be mentioned in this episode of the podcast, but it is a print of Greg and Alex dancing together where Greg it's an incredible piece of art. They're like one of my absolute favorite artists like in the community and like just in general. But so I had him sign it, and then I had Alex sign it because like why not, he's there. I mean, and like they had already gotten Alex to sign a print. So like that wasn't the thing that I needed to do, right? And so they signed the print, and Greg was like, oh, this is incredible. Like, this is amazing. Like, look how slim my belly is in this. It was so funny. And then I was okay, thank you for signing this. And then I was like, wouldn't it be so funny if you like recreated this picture for me? And immediately both of them, I know Greg says this all the time, he's like, Alex will do anything you tell him to. I'm like, bitch, you too. Like, you immediately were like, yeah, let me get into position, right? Like both of them. And so like I held it up so that they could see it, and there's a great video out there on like the socials, maybe I'll link it.
I saw that video before I ever knew who you were.
Yeah.
So that's extra funny.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, yeah, can you like recreate this picture? And they do it. And they like do the faces and everything. I'm like, they didn't have to do that. They could have absolutely said, our car is here, we have to go. Like, we're so sorry. You know, like they're just amazing like that. You know, like we truly are like really, really spoiled in our fandom, not only by the fans, but also by them, which I feel like is really lucky. Like, yeah, we're honestly really lucky. Yeah. So yeah, that's my story.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah. They're both just so incredibly sweet. And yeah, hopefully
one of these days,
I was going to say, hopefully you get to over there. Yeah. You get to meet them as well. Cause yeah, they're so sweet. So amazing.
Yeah. I'm gonna get right now is I will be seeing Russell Howard next month.
Oh.
Yes, and I bought, you know what, I should have had it ready. I wanna show you the shirt I'm gonna wear. Front and center, by the way. I got front and center.
Oh, excellent.
So he's gonna see it. Let me go get it.
Okay.
Okay, you know what, it's somewhere and I can't find it, but I'll find it eventually. But it's that wonderful picture of Greg lying down in the Speedo.
Oh, yeah.
And then the graph where it has like the tan is Greg and the brown is the Steeto or whatever.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yes, I got that. Yep, I got that on a t-shirt.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So good. All right, so we're gonna be wrapping up here. So for our during our wrap-up session, I'm gonna ask you, do you have any fan work recommendations for the Taskmaster fandom? Like, is there a fic that you've read that just like is the ultimate standout for you, or like that got you into our little community, or like a piece of fan art or anything like that?
I can't say specifically because I'm still very new in reading all of them, but I will shamelessly self-promote.
Yes.
So I'm brand new baby writer in the fandom. My username on AO3 is Veth the Brave, which is a Critical Role reference. And I have so far written 8 chapters of an ongoing Greg and Alex fic, and I took suggestions from the fan forum for other pairings that people want to see that maybe haven't gotten much love or any love at all. So I have written a Greg and Richard Osman fic.
Oh, that one was really
short,
good.
A little short ditty.
Yes, I read that yesterday. I was like, oh, I'm screaming.
So there are plans for more rare pairs, as we call them in the fandom community.
Yes.
So be on the lookout for that, and more Greg and Alex, of course, because they have taken over my entire brain and now I have brain rot. So it's great.
We love to hear it. Sweet. Okay, well, we'll definitely make sure to link your AO3 to our website, and then people can check you out. I mean, I personally am very excited to keep reading all of the stuff that you have coming out, because I think that you're a really good writer, and it's
thank you so much.
Oh yeah, and yeah, it's your style of writing is like completely up my alley, so I really love it so far. And I'm so excited that you're just getting started.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much more in the think tank that's going to come out.
Yes, thank goodness for that. All right, well, Jonah, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, all right.
I can't wait to. I'm just a baby in this fandom, and there's just more and more to come.
Yes, there sure is. All right, I'll see you online.
All right.
Bye.
And once again, that was TK and Jonah having a lovely little chat. Next week, we're shaking things up again with the start of Series 19 on the 1st of May. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing.